Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. It contains a lesson which is simplicity itself. Every man must serve God and have a lasting trust in God's providence. Jesus was not a visionary blindly driven by an impossible ideal like the communists are. Nor was he an angry man constantly involved in verbal bickering with scribes and Pharisees. No, he was the Messiah, God incarnate, come to tell men how to get to heaven. He exhorted all the generations of his followers, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice. And what is this kingdom of God? Leo XIII, who was Pope in late 1800s, he gives us the answer. He wrote that mankind consists of two parts. The first one is the kingdom of God on earth, namely the true Church of Christ, the Catholic Church. The people who are members of this church, they must serve God with their whole mind and with their entire will. And the other kingdom is the kingdom of Satan. His slaves are those who refuse to obey the divine and eternal law. In about a week, we have the anniversary of death of Father Anthony Cecada. Today I want to speak a little about how great an impact he and Bishop Dolan had on my life and in my seeking of the kingdom of God. It was almost 20 years ago when I met Father Cecada for the first time. I had been born into a Lutheran sect in Finland. In high school, I started to read about Catholicism, and in 1998, I switched to the Novus Ordo Church because it seemed to have a pope, bishops, and apostolic succession. Meeting Father Cecada was a dividing moment in my life. In that time, I was finishing my theology studies in the University of Helsinki. The easiest career path would have been to remain in the Novus Ordo Church organization and maybe become a well-paid teacher or priest in their church. But after speaking with Father Cecada, I was faced with a dilemma. Was this organization I was a member of the true church or a false church? Thanks to the instruction from Father Cecada, I concluded that it was a false church. I was aware that there were some quote-unquote alternatives to the Novus Ordo Mass, namely masses of groups like Society of St. Pius X and the Fraternity of St. Peter. But from Father Cecada, I learned that these were not really alternatives. In one of his writings named The Blathering of the Clams, Father Cecada spoke about how some were advocating a policy of uniting the SSPX and the Novus Ordo traditionalists against the modernists. But as Father put it, these organizations are already united in their communion with the false church of Vatican II. What Father Cecada also emphasized was the value of research and observation. When I first met him, there were many unanswered questions. But again, my main goal was to find out, was this church I was a member of the true church or a false church? And I knew that the answer must be based on facts, not on feelings. It's like when Sherlock Holmes, in one story, hands to Watson a mysterious note. Watson asks what he thinks it means, but Holmes replies, "It is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data. Numbly, one begins to twist facts to suit theories instead of theories to suit facts." This method of research, what I learned from Father Cecada, is brutal in its simplicity. The great mistake what most people make is to start with what they think is true. Once they've made up their mind, they collect only the facts they can bend to fit into their own theory. In other words, they stop collecting evidence and start recruiting it. But thinkers like Father Cecada, they keep returning back to this exact order: first gather, then conclude, never the reverse. Though my study was tough, it was simple. The church organization I was a member of, and which was then led by Ratzinger, then Bergoglio, and now Bob Prevost, was preaching doctrine which was different than what the Catholic Church was teaching. Also, it had a head who was an apostate and therefore could not be even a member of the Catholic Church, still less the Pope. So therefore, in 1998, I had switched to the Novus Ordo Church organization, which had no Pope, no bishops, and no apostolicity. I had merely transferred from one Protestant sect into another. And sects, as St. Paul writes today, they produce works of flesh, not of God. Today our Lord gives us a warning: no man can serve two masters. These words must have startled his listeners. They startle us even today. But the truth is simple. No man can serve two masters who issue conflicting orders. I rarely have a chance to say anything positive about American politics, but I can do it now. You might have heard about the new Massachusetts law, which allows doctors to perform abortions up to birth based solely on their judgment, removing all previous restrictions. The law was passed with 119 yes votes against 33 opposed. But 9 Massachusetts House pro-life Democrats voted against this bill. They faced great pressure to cast their votes in its support, as well as warnings of political consequences. These representatives could have decided that the abortion bill would pass without them and that a no vote was not worth the trouble. They could have stayed quiet, protect their political careers, and let the party leaders claim unanimous democratic support. But they decided to vote no, even though they knew they would be ostracized for it. They refused to bend their knee to the abortion lobby. You see, courage in politics is rarely cost-free, and it goes same in religion. You usually don't get into much trouble by just being for the truth. The troubles start when you condemn the error. Today we are told to seek not just God's kingdom, the church, but also his justice. Many of you have had similar experiences as I in your own search of the kingdom of God. I learned a lot from Father Cecada and also from Bishop Daniel Dolan, the bishop who ordained me. Bishop Dolan had to go through his own share of divisions and abandonments because of his uncompromising positions in defending the true church. During the COVID-19 years, Bishop Dolan frequently preached against the draconian and unconstitutional lockdowns, as well against the attempts to force vaccinate the whole population in a big human experiment. While other churches of the country mostly caved in, Bishop Dolan fought relentlessly to keep our church and our missions open at the moment when our people needed us the most. Mass would not be taken away, not under Bishop Dolan's watch. And all that time he was taking care of his most loyal friend and companion, Father Cecada, who was dying. The most disappointing thing about the COVID years was not that bad guys turned out to be bad guys, but that the so-called good guys did little or nothing to resist the forces who wanted to take the mass away. But Bishop Dolan did teach us an important lesson: always do the right thing, no matter how hard it is. The measure of a person's character is found not so much in that he doesn't make mistakes, but in how quickly and well he handles matters when things go wrong. Our Lord tells us, "Be not therefore solicitous for tomorrow, for the morrow will be solicitous for itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof." Along with the worries of this day, God also gives us, his children, graces to help and to cope with them. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.